Ecclesiastes is not a book that we're in that often, but today I want to turn your attention to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and I want to read verses 9 to 12. If you're wondering where it is, go to Psalms, then Proverbs, and then immediately after the book of Proverbs is the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, and some very wise things Solomon has written to us in Proverbs, but also in the book of Ecclesiastes. If you're wondering about the vanity of life, take the time to read the book of Ecclesiastes. It'll help you to put life in perspective. And today I want to read verses 9 through 12 of chapter 4, because in this little passage of Scripture, we are given five special characteristics of true friendship. Now, there's a lot of people who say that they're your friend, but when it comes to the rubber meeting the road, as they say, they're really not. And so I'm hoping today, as I preach this, and I don't want to preach it in a negative way, I just want to put it out there, what these characteristics are. And I want you to evaluate yourself, and I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to examine you to see if you measure up to these true characteristics. This is not for you to be judgmental of any, but just to examine yourself and to be educated about what a true friend is, because some of us have friends that aren't really our friends. And we need to know that. Jesus said, don't cast your pearls amongst swine. And sometimes we are involved with people who really don't care much about us. Now, that's not to say we oughtn't to pray for them and that we shouldn't care about that. But God wants you to know what true friendship is. Follow along as I read, picking it up at verse 9 of chapter 4. Solomon says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Father, may you hide me behind the cross and have your way in the hearts of all of us, including me. Help us to reevaluate true friendship and help us to walk away from this place knowing that our greatest friend is your Son, who is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us unconditionally and eternally. Thank you. Bless us now as we look in your word, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I am very, very pleased that you could be with us on this Friends Sunday, especially those who may have been invited. In honor of this occasion, this International Friends Day, I would like to speak to you for a few minutes on the subject, the characteristic of true friendship. One of God's most precious gift to us is a friend or friends who encourage us and lovingly challenge us to keep on going. And in my life, the Lord Jesus does that every day. Friends can make a great difference, as Solomon wrote in this passage of Scripture that we just read and we will examine. Someone once said that good friends are one of life's greatest treasures, unquote. With good friends, you are never alone. They are attentive to your needs and gladly share life's joys and life's trials. There have been some great friendships that are good examples of these principles. Now, I like sports, so I read some books about sports. And so I've read some books about some great relationships in the area of sports. And I think of the relationship between Gale Sayers and Brian Piccolo. That friendship deepened into one of the best friendships in the history of sports. What about the friendship of Bobby Richardson, who we all know is a born-again Christian? And he played with greats like Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, Whitey Ford, and Tony Kubek. That relationship between those men spawned the Yankees championship dynasty between 55 and 64. They were teammates on the field, but they were friends off the field. None of them was a greater friend to most than Bobby, who introduced each and every one of them to Jesus Christ, who was his greatest friend. And if you know anything about Bobby Richardson, that's how he gave his testimony. And he never gave up on his friends, not even on Mickey. When Mickey was on his dying bed, many of you may not know, but before Mickey Mantle died, he accepted Christ as his Savior and even had time to write a Bible tract. And I think it was titled A Wasted Life. Can you imagine Mickey Mantle writing a tract that says A Wasted Life? He had lived his whole life for himself. And Bobby introduced him over and over and over again to his best friend, the Lord Jesus. In fact, it could be heard many times during a game. Phil Rizzuto would yell out in the mic, "Hey Mick, have you accepted that friend yet?" And a lot of people didn't know what Phil Rizzuto was talking about. But having read Bobby Richardson's book, I found out he was talking about Mickey accepting Jesus as a Savior. You know, the Bible has some very wonderful examples too of faithful and genuine friends. In fact, the Bible is full of it. The Bible also teaches us about people who are not our friends, who are deceitful. But the greatest of these human friendships was that of Jonathan and David. In fact, you can go into a department store like Macy's and Penny's, and you can find, I guess we call them knickknacks, right? And they're titled Jonathan and David. And you might not know what that's about. But that's about a great friendship. If you're looking for something to buy for a friend, I guess we men wouldn't do that. We'd buy a tool or something. But ladies would buy a knickknack of Jonathan and David, because they were great friends. In fact, take your Bible today and go to 1 Samuel. You don't need to do it now. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 20 and read about these two men. I'll just give you a key verse. 1 Samuel 20:17 said that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. They were knitted together. They were bonded together. They had a friendship that not too many people experience in life. And although David was chosen by God to be the next king of Israel, many of you who are students of the Bible know that it was Jonathan who was heir to the throne through King Saul. And he did not have any bitterness in his heart or his soul against David. Why? Because he wanted only the best for his friend. And if you are a friend to somebody, you want the best for them. Amen? You're not jealous about what they have or how they have succeeded. You're happy about that. Unfortunately, we live in a world where even people who call their friends friends are jealous and despise what they have and the success that they have. That's not a true friend. That's not how Jesus loves you or me. I really appreciate Jonathan. He's a great example of a true friend. And for you to truly understand that relationship, you need to read 1 Samuel. Saul wanted to kill David because he feared David would take his throne one day, and he did, by God's design. Jonathan was willing to lay his life down for David. David waited as a paranoid, egocentric king occupied the throne that had been promised by God to him. And David spent his time hiding in caves and living among his enemies, waiting on the promise of God to be fulfilled. He certainly understood what it meant to become discouraged. But in those times of discouragement, God provided him a faithful friend. Times of waiting on the Lord can be difficult, and a godly friend can make it bearable. Amen? It can. To know that somebody cares enough about you to discuss these issues with you, to be there for you. David had that kind of friend in Jonathan. Jonathan loved David, and he encouraged him to follow God's will, even though it meant Jonathan would forfeit his own right to the throne. Friendship, ladies and gentlemen, is built by working, and I emphasize the word work, on lasting relationships. True friendships don't happen overnight. You work on that. We are all created for relationships. Listen to me, because if you'll get this principle, you'll leave here different than you came in. Dover First Baptist Church is not about religion. When you walk through these doors, it's about a relationship between God the Father, brokered by Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. It's not about religion. In fact, search the scriptures. You'll only find religion in the entire Bible used once. It's talking in the book of James, if you count yourself religious, well then, let's see what you're doing in your life. Do you visit the orphans and the sick and the widows? That's putting faith in practice. But what the Bible teaches is a relationship with a holy heavenly Father that can only be brokered by your greatest friend. And he is Jesus Christ. Say, I don't even know him. Well, get to know him. Amen. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me. You know, Jesus said that. I didn't say that. See, where did Jesus say that? John 14, verse 6. You ought to read that. John 14, verse 6. I am the way. Christ said, I am the way to the Father. And no man can get there but by me. So he's brokered that relationship. For God so loved the world, we know, John 3:16. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So your greatest friend in the world is Jesus Christ. And he extends a loving arm to you to receive him as your Savior. A good friend doesn't want to see you harmed or injured. And they will do what they can to help you and save you, even from yourself. Friends are a blessing. Go back to Ecclesiastes verse 9 of chapter 4. Two are better than one. And so it's emphasizing the fact that having a friend is a good thing. The writer of Ecclesiastes wants us to understand that friendship is, as it were, a good investment. When the author says in verse 9, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labors, you study out those words in the original Hebrew, and the word good reward, or the phrase good reward, can be translated a good return, which means dividends paid on a wise investment. So when you invest in somebody as a friend, you're making a wise investment. Amen? And as we study the passage, we understand why. Because in the time of trouble, we can call on that friend, right? And that friend can call on us. The very best investment that you'll ever make in life will not be a financial one, but rather the investment made in relationships. Let me tell you right now that the greatest relationship you can have is the relationship I was speaking about through Christ. You say, I want that relationship, Pastor, but I don't know how to get it. Well, it's a gift. So you don't have to worry about how to get it. You can't earn it. That's what religion's teaching. So we have a whole lot of people miserable in the world because they're trying in the arm of the flesh to get what they can't earn. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, I've been a student of the Bible for over 35 years. And I praise God that I've been called to be a preacher and that I've been able to get into the book and to hear the voice of God in the words of God. And it's very clear to me that God loves you. And this world that we're living in is not the way God wanted it for us. One day it will be. But until then, the best that we can get is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot earn it. And I want you to think about that. You cannot earn it. The Bible says, for by grace, that's God's part. God extends His grace. You know what grace is? Grace is undeserved favor from God. Whenever somebody extends grace to you, it's undeserved. You don't deserve it, but it's given to you. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Now God says, I offer you a gift because there's nothing you or I could do to broker a relationship with God because He's holy. You have nothing to offer to God but your sinful self. And God is holy, and that's a whole other sermon and subject. And I don't even think we begin to even grasp how holy God is. If you go and you read the book of Genesis and the relationship that Moses had with God, you will see just how holy God is. In fact, the people in the wilderness trembled when God came to Mount Sinai. And they couldn't even walk in the presence of Moses when he had been in the presence of Jehovah, because the Shekinah glory of God permeated his whole being. No man could see God and live. Thank be to God for Jesus, amen. For He brokered a relationship that you could come into through Him. He became a man to take your sin and my sin because He was sinless. The Bible speaks over and over about this doctrine that we Bible scholars understand to be the sacrificial atonement of Christ, or the vicarious atonement, meaning He took your place. That's how much God loves you. And God, through His Son, brokered a relationship. It all begins there. Religion, if you want to call it that, comes after you're born again. You're filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, love your neighbor. The Holy Spirit says, be a good friend. Holy Spirit says, use the gifts that have been given unto you to elevate the body of Christ. Friends are a blessing. Number two, friends help you when they're down. In verse 10, for if one fall or they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. Now, you may have a lot of people in your life that you could call acquaintances. But you may only have a very few that you could call true friends. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Someone once said, I quote, we have been successful in life if we have enough close friends to act as our pallbearers at our funeral. Wow, thought that was wise. How can you tell the difference between an acquaintance and a friend? Well, that's easy. Apply verse 10. If you fall, will they be there? Even if you fall in shame, amen, will they be there? Hey, and by the way, none of us are exempt from that. So, well, I'm a Christian. Okay, praise God. But we were warned over and over by Paul, by Timothy, by James, take heed lest ye what? Fall. But a good friend will be there even in your hour of shame. A friend is the kind of person, if you call them when in trouble, they just simply ask, where are you? How can I help you? That is a friend. And that's exactly what Jesus is. At the very moment that you have trouble, He's there. And He will never leave you or forsake you. Never. And you sometimes feel like, where's God? Trust me, I know I've been there. He's right there. Let me ask you, where's your heart? See, if your heart is over here and in the world and caught up with the things of the world, you're not going to feel the heart of God or the heart of the Lord Jesus. If your heart has been bitterness, you're not going to feel the heart of the Lord. But He's there. Proverbs 17 and verse 17 says this, and I quote, a friend loves at all times. And that's how God loves you. At all times. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. God loves you. He loves you unconditionally. You say, so I can do whatever I want and God will still love me? Well, God loves you. I didn't say He loves your sin. I didn't say God loves your wickedness. Christ died for all that. I would say that if you really appreciate Him as a friend and love Him, you would stop sinning as much as you possibly could, because all of your sin have been placed on Jesus Christ. Every time I commit a sin or do that wicked thing, it's been placed on the cross of Christ, and He suffered for every sin. How do you know that? Because I've studied the Bible, and I understand what propitiation means. And I understand what God meant in the original language. That God in no way would be appeased by the punishment of the wrath of your sin on Christ just because He was the Son of God. None of us will ever know the side of heaven how much God loves you. Because we cannot understand the kind of suffering that Christ endured on that cross. But I will say this, no one has ever suffered like He did. No one. Say, well, I've suffered, I've had this, I've had that. You have never suffered like Christ. That's a whole nother sermon. I have to move on. Third characteristic of true friendship is friends support you. Verse 11. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. Now, we don't apply that too much today because we don't worry so much about being warm, do we? You know, we don't think about it. But you know what? In biblical days, there were times you had to huddle up because it was cold. And if you had a friend, you could huddle up and you could stay warm. But I'll give you kind of an illustration of how that's important. In Bible times, it was important to save you from freezing to death. And we don't really experience that kind of a thing too much today, but it's still a good illustration. And I think of my dad told me the story about being at Bastogne, at the Battle of the Bulge. And they fought for 29 days in well below freezing temperatures with no gloves for their hands, and many of them, their feet just wrapped in gunny sacks. The soldiers would have frozen to death if they had not huddled together in their foxholes to stay warm. That's how they stayed alive for 29 days until Patton's Third Army rescued them from the Germans, the Battle of the Bulge. And I often think about, my dad was in a foxhole with his very, very best friend for those 29 days. And they huddled and they kept warm
and they protected each other. Sometimes it's cold out there in the world, isn't it? Maybe that's a better illustration for us. You could be kind of, as it were, just left in the cold. Ostracized by family, by friends. But your best friend will be there, amen? Your best friend will be there. Because it doesn't matter what the rest of the world thinks. They care about you. That's how God loves you. We need help to face circumstances beyond our control. We need to be able to gain emotional strength when we do not have enough of our own strength. And God will provide a friend to be there to give that to us. True friends encourage us in those cold, dark times. I would like to challenge you to decide today to be an encourager as a friend. Please don't tell your friend what they want to hear. Be like Jesus. Tell them what they need to hear. Does the Lord Jesus tell you what you want to hear? I know He doesn't tell me what I want to hear. In fact, sometimes it brings me to tears. You need to get this straightened out in your life, or you're going to be in big trouble, buddy. And that's what a good friend will tell you. You need to get this straightened out in your life. Why are they telling you that? Because they love you. Jesus left us a wonderful, wonderful encourager. In fact, the name of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is the word paraclete. Word paraclete actually comes from the Greek word, which means to come alongside and to lift up. To come along one side and comfort. The paraclete, the comforter. The fourth characteristic of true friendship is that friends protect you and your reputation, verse 12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. This is talking about if a person comes against you, your friend will be there. In fact, taken from the original language, these words were written based on military strategy of the ancient world. Almost all combat back then was hand-to-hand combat. Not all, but most. Soldiers went into battle with a partner, someone that could be counted on and trusted implicitly. And many of them, like in the Romans, fought back to back. They had what they're thinking, they had your back. That's where that came from. They had your back. The soldier stood back to back, one another, and they always kept their back in contact and fought whatever the enemy was that was coming alongside of them. And do you know what? Friends have your back. They don't stab you in the back. Amen? They don't stab you in the back. If they have something to say, they'll say it to your face, not stab you in the back. That's a true friend. You might not like what they have to say, but at least they say it to your face because they love you and they want you to know the truth. They're not going to stab you in the back with it. And I'm happy for people who are honest. I know sometimes we don't like criticism, but sometimes it's needed. A friend never puts up with gossip about their friend. They'll say, I don't need to hear that. Or stop right there. They defend you and your reputation. Last, and I have to hurry, we're going to have our communion today. But I want to give you the illustration that goes with this. A friend has your back. They don't turn on you. Just because you did something wrong. Just because you're not what they expected you to be. Because think about our relationship with God and what God desires for us. And we're not always what He wants us to be and desires us to be. But He never says, get away from me. I want nothing to do with you. He loves you with an undying love. It's a humorous illustration of this. Tonto and the Lone Ranger. How many of you know who Tonto? Maya, you know who Tonto? You're a little young for that. Yes, we would spend many hours after school waiting for Silver to come and to ride. Anyway, Tonto and the Lone Ranger were riding through a canyon together when all of a sudden both sides were filled with Indian warriors with their war paint, dressed for battle. And the Lone Ranger turned to his good friend Tonto and asked, "What are we going to do?" And Tonto replied, "What you mean, we, white man?" We don't want to hear that from our best friend, do we? We want our best friend to be there for us. Last, friends, watch out for your spiritual well-being. Solomon said in Proverbs 27, verse 17, that iron sharpeneth iron. And so a man will sharpen the countenance of his friend. You will bring the best out in your friend. That's what that verse is all about. Do you bring out the best in your friend? I remember growing up, I had a friend, his name was Alan. He liked to brag about himself all the time, and the way he would puff himself up was by always putting me down. I got to believe, oh, maybe I'm just, you know, not really worthy or whatever. You would get to feel like that after a while. Till I met people at the Faith Baptist Church who never put me down. They brought the best out of me. That's what a good friend does. According to the scriptures, a friend is one who challenges you to become all that God intends you to be. The mark of a good friend is that their friendship will draw you closer to the Lord. Too many of you have friends that will take you away from the Lord. Too many of us as born-again Christians, we're out there one foot in the world. As a matter of fact, our intimate friendships sometimes are with the world. And I'm going to ask you, is that what God wants? And you might be saying, gee, I don't know. Well, I'm going to make it very clear for you. Keep your finger there and go to Psalm 1. The very first Psalm that David wrote. He said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the," what's that next word? "Ungodly." Let me challenge you that your best friend ought to be a Christian. Amen. I'm not saying you can't have friends that aren't saved, because we need to make friends with the world. Not friends with the world in the sinful sense, but friends in the world, because the only way they're going to get saved, amen, is to know them, to be a friend to them, and to invite them to know your greatest friend, okay? But what I'm talking about is too often Christians have intimate friendships with the world and worldly people. And we are instructed by God, "Blessed is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." The person loves the Word of God. That's what the law of the Word really means. And he meditates in it day and night. I'm almost finished. The writer of Proverbs has said that friends help to sharpen us, as I mentioned, to become sharp spiritually. And he compares this type of friendship to the fine tuning of metal on an anvil. Now, if a piece of metal could talk while it's on an anvil, being shaped by that hammer, what do you think it would say? If we could make it animated, it would say, "Ouch, that hurts." Think of a blacksmith who makes a sword. He takes a hammer and takes out a piece of metal and works on it slowly and continuously until it takes shape and is sharpened to be a sword. Friends are always challenging us and even pushing us to be all that we could be. And if you're a Christian, be all that God wants you to be. True friends tell you the truth and even risk hurting your feelings because they love you and they have your best interest at heart. I don't know about that, Pastor. Well, I'm glad you challenged that. Go to Proverbs 27. I don't want you to take my word for that. I want you to take God's word for that. Proverbs 27 and verse 6. faithful are the wounds of a friend. It's right there. The greatest gift you can give someone is the gift of an invitation to accept Christ because you are a sinner. I don't like to hear that. Faithful, the Bible says, is a friend who, when they say that, may wound you, may hurt you, may even insult you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The friend will tell you right to your face, not behind your back, or deceive you. They will say to you, God loves you, I love you, and I want to know you for all eternity. And the only way that's possible is that you receive Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you that there are true friends because Christ has been a true friend. And they understand that. And they emulate that. They're the best friends to have. And so if you have not accepted Christ personally in your life, I want to invite you to make the greatest decision and the greatest relationship that you'll ever have. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. You might be saying to yourself this morning as you heard this message, I sure wish I had a friend like that. You can. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, but there is a friend who sticks closer than the brother. That friend can be Jesus Christ. And then you'll have a basis for knowing what true friendship is. Jesus has done everything to be your friend. And He is your best friend because He has done more for you than any else, than anybody else. Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Thank you, Father, that Jesus laid down his life for me. And if there's someone here who has never accepted that, may right now they do so. The quietness of the moment, may they say, oh God, thank you. I never knew Jesus was such a friend. I accept what he did on the cross for me. I admit I need him to save me from my sin. I admit that he's God in the flesh and he rose from the dead to justify me in your sight, a holy God. And I am eternally thankful. Come into my heart and save me, Lord Jesus. If you prayed that prayer this morning, God honors his word. He will absolutely do so. Father, thank you for these good folks. I pray this message has helped them to appreciate who they are in Christ and that Christ desires them to have true friendships and to be a true friend to others. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.